Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4 and verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4 and verse 9 to 12. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It says, two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift his companion up, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We started last week, Sunday. We're going to continue this morning. Tell somebody, put it in the comment section, send it as a message to somebody you know, and tell them something is about to go down at Hill City. They don't want to miss this message right now. Tell that person, forever is a long time. Alright, so every Hill City member watching on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, register your attendance this morning and just type that title there, forever is a long time. Alright, forever is a long time. Just put it there, I believe, forever is a long time. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that, Father, you would shed light on your word this morning. Inspire us with your word this morning. Equip us with your word this morning. Father, we ask for healing through your word this morning. We ask for understanding through your word this morning. By the time this session is over, shift us, O God. Heal us, O God. We don't want to remain the same, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. So we started last week's message on a negative note. Okay, in fact, when I was watching it, I said, oh, it's not a nice thing for a pastor to say. But what I said when we started last week was that I was not excited. And I wish that 7 days would have changed my excitement. But even though I'm excited in some other regards, okay, concerning what we are talking about this morning, I'm still not excited. Okay, I'm not excited. We looked at some statistics last week. How that on one side we should be excited because, okay, our divorce rate is so low, it's almost negligible, almost non-existent, all right, as far as divorce is concerned in Nigeria, because you see, we don't divorce. But just before we excite ourselves and we say we are better than some other people, when we look at our infidelity rate and our domestic violence rate, we find out that it is so astronomical, it's so high, okay, only for us to understand that the reason why we don't divorce is because in this part of the world, we have been conditioned to endure what God designed for us to enjoy. We have been conditioned to what? To endure. So I told you last week that for so many people, marriage has now become a trap. Okay, as a single young person, we hurry you and we tell you something is wrong with you if you are not married. So you hurry without knowing what's coming ahead. You hurry and get married and then we tell you once you are inside, you cannot come out. And so a lot of people fear the stigma, so they suffer the pain. They suffer the shame because listen, sometimes it's worse to come out than to stay and be in pain. And since we don't quit, and it is good, God hates divorce, God wants us to be happily married, we said to ourselves at Hill City, forever is a very long time. Let's find a way. Let's look into the word of God. How do we make this work so that we are not just enduring what God designed for us to enjoy? And I asked you last week, or I posed a question last week, that what's responsible for the difficulty in our marriages? And I told you that it is because we have replaced God with I. Not only in our marriages, but in other areas of our lives. If there's any problem, if you want to nail the problem of the world to one thing, okay, at this point, it is that we have replaced what? God with I. The average person is doing whatever it is that they are doing to satisfy themselves. So we want godly experiences, but we want them on our own terms. We want to follow our own rules. We want to do it our own way and still get, God's results. And I told you last week that it's not going to work. The big idea that I shared with us last week is that if we are going to enjoy our marriages instead of enduring them, we have to bring God back to the center. We have to bring God back to the center, not just the center of our marriages, but the center of our lives. That for the single person, for the married person, indeed, for everybody, God has to become the only reason why you do whatever it is that you are doing. That our word will be like the mantra of Joseph, who said, why should I do this evil thing and sin against God? It's not about a man, it's about God. Okay, so if I'm married, it's because of God. How do I conduct myself in my marriage? I conduct myself the way God will have me conduct myself. I'm not reacting to my wife. I'm not responding to my husband. I am responding to God. So I'm not going to treat my spouse the way he or she deserves to be treated. I'm going to treat he or she the way God expects me to treat he or she. See, because every good marriage, every blissful marriage is not the union of two, but of three. A man, his wife, and they are God. So there are three of us involved in this relationship, and the third party is the most important. God, the third party, is the most important. If I honor God the way I conduct my affairs in my marriage, He will respond by rewarding me. Hallelujah. He will respond by rewarding me. And I told you last week that to be godly means to be like God in character. Simple. To be godly is not to darken the doors of a church. To be godly is not that you read your Bible every morning. To be godly is not that you attend prayer meetings. Now, all of those things are means to an end. The end is that you may display godly character. And I told you that godliness does not come naturally. It requires training. I got an interesting message on Instagram. And a lady sent me a message and said that she wanted... She wanted to find out if I have podcasts. She wanted more of my messages. All right. She used to be a Muslim. Now she's a Christian. Attends another church. But she listened to a series that I taught. And it blessed her so much. And when I saw the message, I smiled. Because like I tell Hill City members all the time, you who are closer to the source sometimes take some of these things for granted. If you want to train yourself in godliness, as a matter of fact, I've decided, and I'm saying this openly now because I want to commit myself, that I'm going to work on this book. And it's going to be out before the end of 2020. And it's going to be absolutely free. Okay, and it is titled, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Christians. Okay, that's the series the lady listened to and said, wow, that is so blessed me. Listen, if you want to train yourself in godliness, find a way to that series. Okay, what I will do now, probably in the next 7 days, we'll make the album available on our website, our digital store, okay, as a free download. The whole album, so that those who want to enjoy the audio continue to enjoy the audio while we work on the book. See, but you have to train yourself for godliness. Consider that my wedding gift. For those who are still single. For those who are married, consider it my belated wedding gift. Train yourself to be godly. Your spouse will not want out if he or she was married to God. That's the truth. So you see, the more of godly character you demonstrate, all right, the more of the love and the bliss that you see in your marriage. But we want to move it to another level this morning. Forever is a long time. Forever is a long time. Therefore, this is my message today. Invest in your personal growth. And continue to do so throughout your marriage. Forever is a long time. So, invest in your personal growth and continue to do so throughout your marriage. Alright, I conceived this idea years ago. I was listening to a message preached by Pastor Paul Adefarasin, and he told the story of how that years ago, while he was still a pastor in London, that they hosted Miles Monroe. And he had the responsibility of picking him from the airport, all right, and moving him around throughout the time he was in London at that time. He said he picked him up from the airport and they got talking, you know, and all that. And then Miles Monroe asked him, are you married? And he said, no, I'm still single. And then he was resident pastor for Action Chapel in London. He said, I'm still single. He said, Miles Monroe said something to me that felt more like, this guy does not like me. He said, but the more I thought about it, the more I understood what he was trying to say. So he said to him, it's okay. He said, but please make sure that after you get married, you remain single. And to a lot of people, it doesn't make sense. Make sure that after you get married, you remain single. You see, a lot of people think singleness is an aspect or a season of my life that I must escape. No, singleness is being whole. Singleness is growing yourself, having a mind of your own, being that one person, independent person. Now, in your marriage, your singleness is still a key. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. Invest in your personal growth before you get married. And after your wedding, continue to invest in your personal growth. In John Maxwell's book, The 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork, the fifth law is the law of the chain. And that law says that the strength of the chain is impacted by its weakest link. The strength of the chain is impacted by its weakest link. All right? If you want to use a chain for anything, the degree to which you can use the chain, the extent to which the chain can work is affected or is determined by the weakest link. My message to you this morning is, don't be the weak link in your marriage. You see, because what happens when people are hooked up to somebody that they have come to now perceive as weak, You see, they will rally around you. They will try to help you. But after some time, when they notice that you are not growing, you are not responding to help, resentment will set in. Because in this relationship, one person has now become a burden instead of a blessing. If you don't continue to grow in your marriage, a lot of people don't understand. I'm going to explain that to you this morning. If you don't continue to grow, the same person that used to celebrate you after some time will begin to resent you because the very thought of you is stress for them. Because you are no longer growing. So the text that we read, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says that two are better than one. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 says, and God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a help suitable for him. All of these verses of scripture have something in common. It presupposes that these two persons are of comparable substance. Are you getting this? It presupposes that these two people are what of... See, because you can't help me if you are not strong where I am weak. So when the Bible says two are better than one, it's not one strong and one weak. When the Bible says iron sharpens iron, it has to be iron sharpening iron. If it is iron and wood, there's going to be pain. When God says, I will make a help suitable for him. Verse 23 of Genesis 2. Bible says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is made of the same substance. Are you getting this? It's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So it presupposes that what? That we are of similarity. We may be different, but we are equal. A lot of people like to claim equality in benefits, but not in contribution. When there's money to share, you remember you and your husband, oh, we are equal. When there's a benefit to go around, you remember that we are equal. But when it's time to drop money, oh, my husband. When it's time to carry something, oh, my husband. When it's time to take responsibility, oh, my wife. No. We may be different, but we are what? We are equal. So you've got to what? You've got to build your capacity. Why? Because you see, one man's stress is another man's hobby. I'm going to explain myself this morning. One man's stress is another man's hobby. What am I trying to say? The difference between load and stress is capacity. The difference between load and stress is capacity. Somebody somewhere is playing with what is killing you. Somebody somewhere. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. When two of us meet each other, single, you're single, I'm single, we love each other, we have just the two of us to take care of, all right? All you need, your capacity is to just love on me, care for me. You don't have to cook for me, you don't have to clean the house, you don't have to provide for me. You see, it's okay. But the moment we get married, what happens is in marriages, load begins to pile on load. A lot of people don't understand. On your wedding, when they pray for you, see, they want it to be a blessing, but if you're not careful, what they are putting on you is going to be stress if you don't grow your capacity. The capacity it takes to enjoy sex is nothing compared to the capacity it requires to parent a child, the product of the sex. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They now look at their marriage and everything is stressful because you did not build capacity for it. See, paying for dates is nothing compared to paying school fees, paying rent, buying property, maintaining a car. A lot of people, it's not the sex that's so much wrong in their marriage, it's because you lack the capacity. Emotional capacity. See, when it's just you, you wake up in the morning, you think about you. When you have a teenager, it's a different ballgame entirely. I'm telling you the truth. Between the age of 12 and 20, there is a demon. I'm telling you, they feel they know more than you. They know. I'm getting ready for it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm trying to build capacity for it. And one of the things they tell you is that at that point, as a man, you've got to understand that your opinion is not superior anymore. There's nothing like go to bed. Why should I go to bed? Because I said so. Now you have to provide a reason. If not, you will see the devil under your roof. Some people don't understand. They don't build capacity for it. And the same thing you used to celebrate, you would tear apart. Not because it cannot work, but because you did not build capacity for it. You didn't build capacity for it. If you don't continue to grow, you will buckle. Marriage is like wealth. It can be a blessing or a burden depending on your ability to handle it. Some people think money is good. There's an amount of money that can give you sickness. I'm telling you the truth. Sudden wealth can give a person hypertension. I'm telling you the truth. Some promotion can kill you. You see, stress is not the load. Stress is your lack of capacity to cope. So what is stressing you, another person is playing with because they build capacity. If you mount two of these speakers together now for Dwayne, what's his name now? Dwayne, you mount it on me now. I'm wondering, why are you persecuting me? And it's the same thing. See, that marriage is stressing you because you lack capacity. So my wife is, your wife is not a witch. You lack emotional intelligence. I'm telling you, so she's just a crybaby. Every small thing she will cry. What did I say? I was just speaking the truth. Listen, self-control is the fruit of the spirit. Oh, I had to learn that in a hard way. That it crosses your mind does not mean you should cross your lips. You've got to hold yourself up. One day I was teaching leadership. I got too excited. You know what I told them? I said leadership sometimes is like being a con man with righteous intentions. And a lot of times in marriage, you have to be faithfully unfaithful. See, what I mean by that is, you have to say what has to be said and hold back what could have been said but should not be said, because even though it is true, it will do damage. I'm telling you, you have to hold back. You have to hold back. You have to, so if you don't build self-control when you're single, you will get into marriage, you will buckle. You are used to taking money and spending money on yourself. You will buckle. When money will, I'm telling you, you will feel like a finance minister. You just approve payment, big money, but it's not coming here. It's just passing through you. You're just like the bank. It's just passing through you. And you will see kids with no care whatsoever in the world enjoying the best of your sweat. That's parenting. It's sacrifice and selflessness. If you are not ready for that, bony. See, loneliness is not a problem. I'm telling you the truth. I'm just lonely. I want to marry. No, it's not a problem. There is a dimension. You'll be surrounded with people and you will still be lonely if you have not built capacity. I'm telling you the truth. Because some of the people that give you joy will give you the kind of pain that if you don't know how to play by yourself, if you always have to be around them, they will kill you before you get relief. I hope I'm helping somebody this morning. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Growth sustains attraction. And attraction facilitates friendship and romance. Growth. If you keep growing, okay, there's something to be attracted to. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's something to be attracted to if you keep growing. Alright, you see, friendship is the bedrock of the blissful marriage. It's about friendship. I tell people all the time, you want to know who your spouse is, singles, you want to know who to marry. Don't go to the cinemas, don't go anywhere. Go sit under a mango tree and start gossiping. The person you can gossip with for the longest without getting bored, that's the person you should marry. That's the truth. John Maxwell says that people sometimes would ask me, I would like to spend a day with you. He said, and I look at them and I tell you, you don't want to spend a day with me. He said, why? He said, because it's going to be very boring. So because what I do, you know, sometimes you see books, bestseller, best-selling author, best-selling this, best-selling that. It takes hours of sitting down, of reading, sometimes to write a paragraph. Everybody can write a book. But when somebody comes up with a principle that has universal relevance, it is because they meditated, they crafted their works. It's a lot of work, and work is boring. So if you're the kind of person that lives for excitement, you have not built capacity for real life. Like I tell people all the time, wealth is not what you are spending. Wealth is how you can be comfortable having it and not touching it. That's real wealth. Because when they say you are worth something, it's the one you have not spent. If wealth is about spending, all of us are billionaires. If you check from the time you are born today, how much has been spent on you? How much you have spent? You had money. And that's the problem. You had money. See, but the problem is you don't have money. Okay? And so you see, sometimes when people, every time, if you're the kind of person that keeps going to God every time you have a need, it's because there's something you don't understand. That when God wants to bless a person, He gives the person a seed. That there is work that you have to apply to seed to turn to your seed to a forest. Are we getting this? God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He was going to make the world and He created one person. Then after that one person, He pulled out another person. And that was the last time God created a human being. That was the last time. I'm not sure you got that. So your wealth, your joy, your peace of mind, the extent to which it will go is not determined by what God does for you, but by what you do to what God does for you. If Adam and Eve were just playing in the garden and eating apple and drinking juice and they did not copulate, they would still remain Adam and Eve till today. Selah. So you've got to build capacity. Put it in the comment section for me. Tell the person, you know, your neighbor is beside you on the comment section. Tell the person, build capacity, build capacity, build capacity, build capacity. And two major areas, okay, I just want to suggest to us this morning, because you see, in recent times, I've observed some of the issues I've seen in some marriages, and I just want to highlight two areas that I believe every married person must continually work on. Two areas. First is emotional intelligence, and the other one is communication. Emotional intelligence and then communication. There's this story that was called from the book Love and Respect by Dr. Imazin Egrick. So I've told the media guys, I've got to put it on the screen for those who are watching live on YouTube, on Facebook, thereabout. Okay, and then later in the day, I'm going to post it on the Hill City Couples Connect group. Because you see, we're going to read this story together. Now, the story is just, I call it another day in a typical marriage. And as we get to read this story, every married couple will identify with this story. Now, there's more to this story than emotional intelligence and communication, but those are the two I want to highlight. But subsequently, I would want every family to sit down with this story and compare your marriage to this marriage, okay, and begin to draw lessons. Okay, where could they have done things differently? Because you see, what they could have done differently is what you need to start doing differently. So let's read, all right, just a portion of the book. If you can lay your hands on the book, it would bless you. Love and Respect by Dr. Imazin Egrick. It says, the husband was gone for a week on a business trip. As his plane lands, he starts envisioning a romantic sexual evening with his wife. So he hurries home as quickly as he can. As he walks in the door, his wife's first words are, what are you doing home so early? Well, since you are here, I need you to pick up the kids from school. And don't forget, we have parent-teachers meetings this evening. Oh yes, I want to talk to you about Billy. The teacher called today and said he's been showing off and distracting his friends in class. And on the way to the school, can you pick up my clothes at the cleaners? Oh, I almost forgot. Dinner will be late because my sister is dropping over for coffee. So much for the romantic evening planned out by our knight of the business road, who has wound up playing second fiddle to the kids, the cleaning, and the wife's sister. On his way out the back door, he calls sarcastically over his shoulder. Great to see you after 1 week. His wife is bothered by his sarcastic tone. But just as he walks out, the phone rings, and she doesn't have time to follow him outside to ask him what he meant. Later, during the parent-teacher meeting, she senses he is still angry. But on the way home, she says nothing. She is exhausted from all the week's activities. And she is upset because he has never asked her once about all she has had to deal with. She wonders what right he has to be upset with her when he is the one being unreasonable. As they retire into bed that night, the husband decides that he will make up with his wife in the most obvious and natural way. As he reached to rub her back, which is usually a good way to get started, she groans, "Don't, I'm tired." Angrily, he rolls away from her without saying a word. Wounded by his anger, she says, "You are so insensitive." In disbelief, he replies, "I can't believe you said that. I've been gone for a week. I come home and instead of any kind of greeting, you just go on about the kids and your sister. When I try to get close, you tell me you are too tired. And then you call me insensitive. Am I just a meal ticket to you?" By now, the wife is very hurt. And she retorts, "You never asked me once how I was doing. The only time you get interested in me, it's for sex. I was gone a week. When we were first married and I had to travel, you couldn't wait to see me get home. You would greet me at the door with a smile and a kiss. Now you simply look up and say, 'Why are you home so early?' Thanks. That makes my day." For more, please get a copy of the book. Okay, and when I saw this, actually it was posted by a colleague on Facebook, and I quickly sent him a message. I said, "Hey, this is a nice write-up. All right, I need to use it." And it, you know, it's a picture. I got it from a book. You know, and I'm like, "Oh, fantastic." And I went after the book. You know, and when I saw this, I said to myself, this is my house. Not the exact details, but this is it. The man looks at all that he is doing and he says, "Look, I'm entitled to some feedback, to some, you know." The woman looks at all that she is doing and see, the two of them are right and wrong at the same time. Like I said before now, there's a lot. And what I want the married people to do is take this story as a template and say, okay, when did this happen to us? How does this happen to us? Because believe you me, this is a typical day in the average marriage. One person is overloaded, another person feels you don't get me, and all of that. And that's why I said to us this morning, and I have just a few suggestions before we round up this morning, that look, as married people, we must focus on, we must continue to grow in emotional intelligence and communication. Emotional intelligence and communication. So I have a few suggestions this morning. Emotional intelligence. Ladies, listen to this. Men crave respect. Men crave respect. There's only a challenge. Respect is interpreted by men to mean preference. Respecting a man is not, yes, sir. How are you, sir? My lord. Not exactly. It is preference. And it is not preference when it's convenient for you. It is manifest preference. That anytime you have to make a decision, anytime you have to make a choice, anytime you want to say something, let it be obvious that you prefer me to anybody, including the children. Okay? That is respect for a man. Preference. Okay? And men crave unconditional acceptance. You don't want to judge him. You don't want to compare him to anybody. Now, when we say emotional intelligence, a lot of times we do things we don't intend because we are not emotionally aware. So a lot of times it's not in what you say or don't say. A lot of times it's in your tone of voice and body language. So for example, we want to decide what we are eating tonight. Okay? I mean, that's why I say this happens all the time. My wife loves me a lot. But you know, one day she told me, look, if I don't give you anything to eat, you can take care of yourself. But these kids, nobody can fix them if I don't. So when we are going to eat, she would fix what the children will eat first. Then, when we got married, it was not like that. Sometimes I look at those kids and sometimes I regret. Just for a brief moment, I wished I held back. I wished I stayed on my side of the bed. I would still be a preference today. See, preferring your husband is not a problem. Until other things come, your job, your family members. And family members have this entitlement. And think about it, you've been married for just 5 years. You got married at 28. For 28 years, they carried you. And suddenly you carry all their benefits, you take it away with this guy that we are not even sure how this is going to work out. Especially if in the 5 years, every time he upsets you, you put it on the family WhatsApp group. It's just 5 years. Mothers don't get it. You have been his wife for how many years? I'm his mother. I nursed him. You got a finished product. So it feels. But all of us are raw material every step of the way. It's just that mother-in-laws don't know that the raw material they dealt with is not this raw material. You deliver to her a raw material. 5 years later, it's not your son that is your son. For good or for, you know. They may give you an inferior material after 5 years. They may deal with your son. By the time you gave him to her confident, he comes back weak. At times you give him to her weak, he comes back bold and confident because of what she has added to him. But every step of the way, each and every one of us is raw material. So women, you've got to be careful. You've got to understand. You've got to develop that aspect of your life that you manifestly prefer your husband. You are going to fix the children, but ask him first, what would you like to eat? You may even have decided what the children will eat and that what the children will eat is what everybody will eat. See, it's how it plays out. Our mothers had that figured out. My mother would tell us all the time, I don't cook what my husband does not eat. I don't cook what my husband does not eat. And I used to feel, well, he's an old man, what? I mean, we are the future. Take care of us. No, if you are not eating what your father is not eating, you are not eating. And the guy feels. It's just preference. Men, please listen to this. Women crave affection, okay? And affection to them is spelled thoughtfulness. Affection is not, oh baby, how are you? No, no. It's the amount of thought, the quality of thought that goes into your expression of affection. And it has to be expressed. Don't be like that guy. The wife said, honey, you don't love me anymore. And he's like, what do you mean I don't love you anymore? So you don't tell me you love me anymore. So the day we got married, I told you in front of witnesses that I love you. When I change my mind, I will let you know. Okay? Women crave affection. Okay? And they crave understanding. See, when I say understanding, every woman is screaming, listen to me. Spend time with me doing what I want to do and don't measure the time. Be with me like you used to be with me as if you had no future. You know, that was what, see, the things we did cutting, we have to find a way to bring them back. Now that we are, I'm telling you, those days, you guys will talk, what were we talking about? Now you're not saying she talks too much. But in those days, we talk about politics, we talk about friends. You remember Madame Koikoi? Madame Koikoi was in everybody's house, and every girl you date in your first year will tell you a Madame Koikoi story. And this is the fourth girl you are dating, does not mean you will say, don't tell me Madame Koikoi, I've heard it before. No, you still listen, because every version is different. Especially if it's a federal government girls' college, their versions are always different. I'm wondering how I know so much about it. But you listen. In fact, she will tell you a story. Hey, when we now went for Christmas, you've heard the Christmas story before, but you still listen. Now you say, wait, honey, allow me to finish. I know where you are going. No, you don't know where she's going. Just listen. And it requires training. Okay, it requires training. All right? Women crave affection. So express how you feel about her. And don't wait for a special location. Pick up your phone. Send a text message. As a matter of fact, if you are, you know, the kind of guy that is not very creative, okay, Google it. Search online. Then contextualize it. I'm telling you, you used to buy cards. Were you the one that wrote the words in those cards? But you shop for the card that expresses how you feel. It's the same thing. Go online and look for things that express how you feel. You can store it. And even schedule it and set a reminder. Because you say you are very busy. One day you will be all by yourself. And you will have time to go to work. You will come back from work and still be at work. Because there will be no home waiting for you. Because you were thoughtless about the person you keep coming back to meet after work. Especially now that she has to go to work. You know, women don't understand it. There was a time when men used to go to work and come back home to meet women. Now the women don't understand. Wait, is it not the same work you are going that I'm going? What's the big deal? Guys, we've hidden behind work for too long. I'm telling you the truth. She said, I don't get it. You went to work, I went to work. I'm back cooking dinner. You are watching football. And then you are telling me you are tired. You can't talk. I will talk. Just listen. Reverend Femi Duwale said something, and I think every man should listen. You see, for us men, when a woman comes up with an issue, the knight in shining armor, the solution provider in us, wants to solve the problem. But it's a major mistake we make. Listen to her. Let her talk. If you allow her to talk long enough, she will discuss the problem and discuss the solution by herself. So don't feel pressure. See, the reason why we don't allow them to talk is because we want to solve the problem. She's already saying, in fact, the other day I went to the school. In fact, I saw her homework. You already think she wants to change school. She wants to go to a more expensive school. I can't afford it. We don't have money. So what's wrong with the assignment? No, Lucy, let me tell you the truth, okay? Children are different. No, just allow her to finish. Don't be scared. She will solve the problem. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move on to communication now. Just a few suggestions about communication. Women, please listen to this. Men think before they talk. Women, listen. Men think before they talk. So please, give him time to think. Amen. Women think as they talk. So when something happens, she wants to talk about it because that's how she processes. That's why you see, something will happen and before a woman thinks about it, she calls her friends. And they are talking about it. And as they are talking about it, is how they figure out what to do. Men are different. When it happens, a man will go. A man in this church told me, a man in this building told me how that something happened, and the wife said something, and so I said to him, so why didn't you respond in the car when she said it? He said, Pishek, I was processing it. See, the problem was that his response was so delayed that as at the time the wife mentioned it, his silence looked like acceptance. But he said, I was processing it. You see, it's always a combination of emotional intelligence and communication. When the woman understands, even if he says something now, that's why a lot of times you see, it looks like men don't keep their word. Because a lot of times, to satisfy you, they'll say, okay, it's all right. Yes, you can do it. Then when they process it, they will now come back and change what, because now they had time to think. So just put that at the back of your mind and allow the guy to think. And anytime you see your husband quiet just by himself, you have not done anything wrong. He's just doing what men do. They think, then they talk. Okay? Man, pay attention. Women think as they talk, so listen. Okay, let her talk. Stop trying to figure out the solution. Just allow her to talk. Okay? Woman, please listen to this. Men can't pay attention for too long. So keep it short, simple, and interesting. Men, this is where the conflict comes from, because we are trying to force the other person to be like us. Gist with your girls. When you get your husband, bullet points. If you want his attention. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of times your girlfriends, it's not like they understand what you are saying. They are just connecting emotionally. That's why next week they say, tell me again, what happened? It's the same story, you will say it again. See, but your husband, when you are telling the story, he wants to pay attention. But his attention span is short. So if you can process it first, so that when he says, so what happened at the market, don't start from the traffic. Because if you start from the traffic, by the time you get to what happened in the market, you may have lost him. And if he's been listening to me for a long time, I teach them how to be there and not be there. Yes, their face is looking at you. They are nodding. And intermittently will be like, yeah. But internally, they are not committing, because that's how they survive. Oh, you wonder how you got A1 and you got C in school. It's the same thing. Lecturer kept talking. He was not listening. I'm telling you, see, guys, you notice they are drawing something. They are playing games. They are fiddling with something. Their attention span, especially when it comes to words, the average guy does not have the capacity for words. That's why when you guys start fighting and you are talking, after when he gets fed up, he will slap you. Because he does not have your capacity. He doesn't have your capacity for words. Or there's an argument, something. Say, we must sort it out before we sleep tonight. You are stressing the poor boy. There's nothing he wants to say. The last thing you said, he has not even finished processing it. And then you will use words. And now this is an interesting thing. Words mean a lot to women. So when you frustrate him, he will now use words just to get over. And then you will hold on to those words. So you are always complaining. She leaves the complaining and fixates on always. I am. And when he said always complaining, he was just thinking complaining. So we've got to understand one another. And we've got to what? Communicate. Women, I'm a man. So it may look like I'm speaking more for the men this morning. Pastor D is going to come one of these days and balance it out. Okay? But women, please pay attention to this. Men can't pay attention for long. So keep it short. Okay? Keep it short. Sometimes you can continue tomorrow. Do you understand? Don't say everything now. If you want him to really commit it to heart. And then for both parties, men and women, please don't raise your voice. It's an act of aggression. These are the areas where we must develop. Don't say, it's just who I am. No, self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. For whatever reason, don't raise your voice. Your husband is not your son. Don't raise your voice at anybody. It's an act of aggression. A lot of people don't understand. It's not good for a man to hit a woman, but a lot of the times, it is a response to something that was said. So how dare you? The moment, especially when you have neighbors or you have children, listen, you can say anything to a man. Anybody who's been with a sugar daddy, you understand what I'm saying? Say, our uncle said, don't call me uncle. No, call me by my name. Call me by my name. Maybe for sure, we are friends. He does not mind as long as nobody's there. Let his driver call him, say, for sure, so don't you have respect. I don't know, for whatever reason, men's ego, okay, becomes an issue when there is an audience. So don't raise your voice. Don't. You will react differently. And for men, to whatever happens, put your hand in your pocket. What you will not do to a mobile police officer, don't do to your wife. Hallelujah. Don't do to your wife. Okay? Continuous growth. I'm rounding up now. Continuous growth requires planning and significant investment. Please pay attention. You see, growth is not an idea. You just, I want to keep growing. No. It requires planning. But much more than that, it requires investment. Okay? I don't know, for whatever reason, social media gives us something to be busy about every week. There's always a new topic every week. So for this week that has ended now, one of the major things we focused on this week was special package. Special package. You know, let's leave corn alone. We'll get to corn next week. Special package. If you don't know what special package is all about, I'm not going to be one of those that will tell you about it. Because some people, in criticizing special package, is how they spread the information about special package. But you know, I was thinking about it and it dawned on me that everybody has a special package. Everybody has a special package. See, those girls that their own special package is popular is because that's what they think they should invest in. Everybody is investing in something. I walked up to my wife yesterday and I told her, baby, upgrading our subscription, our DSTV subscription. She said, why? I said, football is back. Special package. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. Your money flows to what you value the most. Your money flows to what you value the most. Your money flows. So if you want to grow, invest in your growth. You have got to plan it, and you have got to put your money there. So just before you criticize somebody spending $350,000 to keep the attention of a man, what are you doing to keep the attention of your husband? Okay? My wife's cool. I like the way she feels. I like the way she looks. But when I found out that just one purchase, my wife bought beauty products, what about $30,000? I said, wow. It didn't dawn on me that someone could invest. So recently when I was going to do some live shows and all that, I just went to a boutique and I spent equal amount buying clothes. Because I just said to myself, everybody has what they invest in. I'm telling you, it's a cream, soap, $30,000. And then because of the lockdown, at the point, she couldn't, you know, go to the salon and all that. So she was going to order for some, you know, natural products for her hair and all that. And then before we could say, Jesus is Lord, $25,000. So I told her, I said, you two, you have special package. Everybody, think about it. One person is buying Tiro. You are buying Mary Kay. Special package is what? Special package. But let your money, I told Kingsley last week, I saw a pair of shoes on him and I'm like, this is nice. And I said, get me one. In fact, I want to buy it before the end of the month. Your money flows to what you value most. Now, this is my message. If you value growth, put your money there. Okay? If you really value growth, buy books. Don't get to the book stand and you are looking for the 500 naira book. 500 naira books don't develop $1 million ideas, $1 million minds. You are looking, and I'm not saying the price of the book determines what you're going to get out of it. But the very good information, the things that will truly grow you will require an investment. That's the truth. I'll just give you an example. I invest in the minimum about $15 in my library every month. Minimum. How do I know? Because it's a subscription that I have, that I get, is every month. I've said this for years now, that if you have cable TV subscription and you don't have 24/7 internet, okay, you're not serious. Now it's playing out now. That's the truth. It's playing out now. From the beginning of the lockdown, I shut down my subscription to the barest minimum because I don't need it. My kids probably want to watch some cartoons and all that. And even some of the movies, I have another way of getting movies for them. So I don't need the TV subscription, but Premiership is back. We need to step up to the bouquet that allows me to watch football because I don't need their movies. But your money will flow to what you value the most. So if you are not investing in growth, it is because you don't value it. How much are you willing to pay for a conference? It's amazing. Let me say this to you. Only those that pay for conferences get the most out of free conferences. If you've never paid to attend a seminar, you can't maximize a free one. You don't understand. You don't get it. That's the truth. You don't get it. Let me help somebody before I round up. Pastor, what if I'm growing but my partner is not? What if, okay, after all this you have said, I'm investing in my growth. See, because your spouse cannot grow you. That's why I told you to remain single even after you get married. You have to invest in your own personal growth. So what if I'm growing and my partner is not growing? I say to you, pray for your partner and be patient with your partner. That was what you said on your wedding day. Pray for your partner and then be patient with your partner. You know what the Bible says? That it's possible that just by looking at you, just by observing your growth, they will be inspired to grow too. So don't force it on anybody. Focus on yourself in that regard and grow yourself and you will inspire your spouse to grow. But pay for the person and be patient. Wait for their growth to happen. Because on your wedding day you said for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death. Not till growth. Till death do us part. What's my message? Forever is a long time. But with God at the center and a commitment to growth, we will go the distance. Hallelujah. God bless you.